I am in a place that has taken me 40 years to get to, Saint-Boniface, which today is part of the city of Winnipeg in Manitoba. And I'm sitting in the dining room of a very special house in Saint-Boniface. It is the home of one of Canada's greatest writers and one of the world's greatest writers, as far as I'm concerned, Gabriel Roy, Franco-Manitoban. And I have come to this house to relive a little of my own personal past of having taught the works of Gabriel Roy for almost 32 years. Gabriel Roy, to me, is a humanist, and she is an author who represents the type of writer who lives at the grassroots, who writes from a grassroots point of view. And I'm talking to Claudette and Jean Dumas, who are volunteer guides in the house. And Claudette, I want to start with you. From your own personal point of view, tell me, who was the woman who grew up and lived in this house?
The woman who lived in this house, Gabrielle Roy, to me, actually was the person who wanted to seek something a little bit out of the ordinary. She had great goals for herself, and she wanted to accomplish them, and therefore she became what she is well known for today, being a very well-known author.
And what did she have to go through to do what her life's work was?
First of all, she had to deal with she was the youngest of her family, and she had to kind of deal with certain poverty that her family went into after her birth. And then after that, she had to deal with her family, which, according to me again, didn't really understand what was a writer, because for them it was more important to earn money and make a living. And also, she did their wishes for a while. She became a school teacher for about 8 years. But then she decided she was going to do what she wanted to do. She left St. Boniface. And to me, it was probably a very big sacrifice. She was leaving her hometown, her family, especially her mother. So therefore, putting all that together, to me, it was a big sacrifice to become what she became.
Well, let me ask you this. People who live outside Canada are well aware, more or less well aware, that Canada is a bilingual country. They tend, however, to think of Quebec. They don't think of other parts of Canada, for example, Manitoba. What does she represent in terms of the Franco-Manitoban community here?
Well, as you know, Gabrielle Roy, being what she was, an author, and she was a Manitoban, and she wrote in most beautiful French. So there are French people that that were able to conserve their heritage of the French language, even though they weren't in Quebec. So there are French Canadians in other places that did just as well as what's happening in Quebec.
And you and I discussed briefly the exquisite detail with which she wrote. Do you have a favorite story that she wrote, or a favorite detail?
Well, I was born in Montreal, and I did read her very first book that made her famous, Le Bonheur d'Occasion.
Which was translated into English worldwide in many languages, and in English it was called The Tin Flute.
That's true. And I was born myself in Montreal, and then when I read the book, I saw all my youth, because I knew where the story took place. And as a matter of fact, later on in my life, we went back there, my wife and I, and all of the buildings that are described, and the railroad track, and the little community of Saint-Henri, we recognize all of these places when we walk the streets of Montreal.
Montreal, by the way, is one of my favorite cities in the country. And Saint-Henri, I know, bonheur d'occasion could be translated in English as secondhand happiness. Why would she write, why was it called secondhand happiness?
Well, because I think what happened to the young person that became sick, he was living at home and he was not very happy there because of the difficulties of living in Saint-Henri at that time. And he became sick, and by becoming sick, he gets to the hospital, and there he gets visitors, and he feels the love of the people that are coming to visit him, and he gets this little gift that really, that's in fruit, that really made him very happy, and only because he was sick.
That sounds an awful lot like Gabrielle's own story.
Yes, actually, when you read Bonheur d'occasion, I think that Gabrielle was actually was very much at home with the poverty that goes on into in the novel, and she is actually reliving whatever she had experienced at home.
And can you tell us why was the book translated, or why was the title in English The Tin Flute?
I was told that if you take Bonheur d'occasion and try to turn it into an English title, like Bonheur, Happiness, Occasion, Little Bits, or Happenings of having some bonheur, some happiness, that it didn't make for a very catching type of title. So anyways, they decided to choose one of the instances where there was happiness in the book. And
this was when the young man was given a tin flute?
Mm-hmm.
And what did the tin flute come to represent in the story?
The tin flute came to represent a moment of happiness because the young child who was probably 7-8 years old in the story was suffering with a certain type of leukemia or something like that. And his mother, visiting him for one of the last times, wanted to bring him something to finally bring some happiness in his life. And she offered him a little tin flute, which she had bought at the Kingston or the ordinary type of store where you would get a tin flute.
Like a five and dime store. Where is this house located? Where we are right now?
Oh, right now, we are in Rue de Chambeau, 375 Rue de Chambeau in Saint Boniface, and the house is now 100 years old, a little bit older than that. I think it's 101. It's still up, and it looks just as good as the day it was built, because we have spent a lot of money to do that.
And some government money thrown in there, too, I believe.
Oh, yes, for sure.
This is the book, Rue de Chambeau, the name of the street where this house is. And this was the book that introduced me to Gabrielle Roy. And it was translated in English as Street of Riches. What were the riches that came about on this street?
Okay, I believe the book was translated to Street of Riches because Gabrielle, quite sure, had something to do with the translation of the book. And the riches actually would be her past. If you read Gabrielle's book, even though the names have changed or some little locations have changed, it always has to do much with her life in St. Boniface. And the riches, because she became to understand what it is, a large family, what it is to be poor, what it is to have the conflicts of a large family. She went through a lot of that being the youngest of the family. And also the Street of Riches led her to her school. She always went to Académie Saint-Joseph, where she graduated. And therefore, her street would lead her to all what she had learned through academics, she also Street of Riches, because if you read Gabrielle's book, she actually quite multi-culture. She accepts.
She was very much avant-garde, very much ahead of her time.
And I would think it's by living in St. Boniface that she got that, by the CM station, which was not far from her home. People who live on the second floor, and then also crossing the Red River to go to Winnipeg, what they call Winnipeg at the time. And she's there she was going to be in contact with a very English society. Mm-hmm. So I think Street of Riches, not only what she learned at home, but what it took her to.
And what I find interesting, too, is she did spend a majority of her life after she left St. Boniface. She not only left St. Boniface, she left Canada. She spent a great deal of her life in France. And I often wonder whether that was of necessity, because the further you get away from a subject, maybe you see it a bit clearer. Do you have any comment on that?
Well, right now I forgot the name of her book, but I think it's La Montagne Secrète.
The Secret Mountain.
The Secret Mountain, which was written in France, I believe. And I think also by going away from it, she wasn't controlled by the elements of the location. She could see further.
And that is the role of the artist. Mm-hmm. Jean, I want to ask you one other question. Where in this house do you personally think, where do you feel closest to Gabrielle Roy in this house? Is there a particular room or a particular spot, something that really says the woman was here?
I think that would be in the attic by the little window from where she spent a lot of time contemplating life and probably her future also. And from that little window, I think that it's from there that she probably decided to become a writer.
And Claudette, I'm going to leave the last word to you on this as well. Why do you think it's important for people to come to this house to discover Gabrielle Roy?
Coming to this house, actually, you come to be in touch with reality. For example, as a Manitoban myself, and even when I went to school, Gabrielle Roy was way up there. She was a writer, and you would read some of her books, but you wouldn't connect at all with herself. She was like a writer and a book. But by coming to Gabrielle Roy house, you actually live what you read. For example, in Rue des Chambeaux, Street of Riches, you see all the what she describes in her books. So you touch with reality. It makes her understand what kind of person she was, because you can go further than just reading a book and think, well, this is Gabrielle Roy. You go more into details of her life.
And I would like to think, as we sit around her family's dining room table here, that maybe, just maybe, she's listening to us have this conversation. And I think that would be very nice. I want to thank you both for this. It's been an exquisite experience for me.
Okay, thank you very much. And this one back in 2009.
Ah, what's happening in 2009?
It's going to be the 100th anniversary of Gabrielle Roy. We're already thinking of things to do in that special year, so I'll welcome you back.
Great. Thank you very much, Jean.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye.